All right. How are you guys doing this morning? You doing good? Is it awake? All right. Good, good, good. Stay awake. Do good. I'll do my best to talk fast. No, to talk loud. No, keep your attention. It's good. I'm excited to bring you guys the word this morning. Hopefully, I have some fun up here, but hopefully more important than me having fun, hopefully you guys are blessed that you guys receive a word from the Lord. And that's my prayer. Every time I'm preparing my message, there's so many things that I have personal interests. I have personal desires of how I want things to be, and I want it to be in order, and I want this, I want that. But when I bring it all together, I just lay it at Jesus' feet. I say, God, would you somehow feed your sheep, somehow bless your people? And I find confidence in knowing that it's not just up to me. If I just bring God's word, his word doesn't return void. His word, it goes forth, and it accomplishes what it set forth to do. And so I want to pray, according to God's word, that it would do just that, that you guys would be blessed, that you guys would be well fed, that you would leave here challenged, encouraged, blessed, but that something would stand out to you, something that would be specific to you personally, that this wouldn't just be a good saying that happens up here on the platform, but that somehow God specifically speaks to you and that you have something to take home. I love what Pastor Greg said last week, and I think it was posted up on Instagram. You can't live off of somebody else's manna. You got to go get your own, or however it was said. I love that. That's so true. You can't live off of my devotional reading. You can't live off of somebody else's coattails. You got to go get your own word from the Lord. And so I'm praying that somehow what I share this morning, God breathes on it and you get a word from God through what I'm saying this morning. So let's pray that somehow God does that. Would you join me in praying that God would do that? Lord, I thank you that you are good. God, I thank you that you are, as we just praise and worship you, that you are high above it all, God, that you are this glorious, magnificent, wonderful, powerful God Almighty, and yet you're intimate and acquainted with all of our ways, that you know how many hairs are on our head, that you knit us together in our mother's womb, Lord God. And so I thank you that you have a personal word for each one of us. God, I pray that each one of us would be hungering. And right now, as I'm even praying, we'd make it a personal prayer, each one of us in our own hearts, God, that we desire to hear from you, God, that we gathered here this morning because we want to hear from you, God. We want to live by every word that proceeds from your mouth, God. So would you feed us this morning, your word, God? May we leave here encouraged, built up, edified, nourished by what your word says to us this morning. God, I pray that you would help me. Holy Spirit, you are the helper. Would you empower me and help me to share your word with power, with specificity, Lord God, with clarity, God, and that we all would leave here just rejoicing in a good God. So we just thank you. Bless this time. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. Well, thank you again, Pastor Greg, for sharing the word last week. It's always good to hear from you. We're continuing on this morning. We've been talking about, won't go over all over, I promise, I won't do it every Sunday morning, but since the beginning of the year, we've got a fresh new mission statement here at Osborne. We've got our values that support that mission statement, and we have a vision for 2018, and the vision, I don't mind keep saying that, and they could actually, I don't know if I told anybody, and I don't think I even put it up there. Shoot, you know what? Daniel, I'll email you my, give me 1 second here. I'm going to email Daniel my PowerPoint right now. Wow, that's pretty bad, huh? Tells you how prepared I am. Thank you for your grace and mercy for your pastor right now. Daniel, come on. Daniel Northrup, there you are. Send. Perfect. All right, well, while they're getting that, we'll again, remind you of what our vision is for 2018. It is to connect. You heard that word. Carrie said it. Hopefully, you guys are getting that. You're finding ways that we're connecting. It's three things. For 2018, I believe we're supposed to connect to God's word here at Osborne. We're supposed to connect to the church body, to each other here, and then to connect to his world in need and finding ways to do that. And so this whole month of February, we've been focusing on connecting to his word. And how do we do that? And 2 weeks ago, I was talking about RPGs. Anybody remember in the military what an RPG is? Most of you guys had no idea what an RPG was. And I was like, oh, that failed, that analogy. Does anyone remember what those are in the military? Rocket-propelled grenade launcher. Thank you. Someone plays Halo or some kind of military thing online. An RPG, rocket-propelled grenade. But we didn't talk about those. We talked about read, pray, go 2 weeks ago. We talked about how we got to read, go. Oh, look at that. He's quick. Man, they're good. We got to read, pray, go. And so kind of on the heels of that, we're going to be continuing to talk about connecting to God's word. And Pastor Greg did a good job of bringing the word last week and realizing that we need to connect to it in lots of different ways. And so this morning, I want to look at a couple different things. But one of the things I want to highlight before I jump into the PowerPoint is I love that God's Word, it connects to those that are my 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, when I had kids that were that age. I could connect stories into their life at that age, them just barely understanding who God is. God's Word connects them at their level. People that are the eldest person in this room, God's Word connects to your life. That no matter how uneducated you are or how overly educated you are, no matter what, God's Word connects and is relevant to our lives. At every stage of our life, no matter what we're doing, no matter what problem we're facing or the good times we're in, God's Word is always relevant. It always has something that resonates in our life. And so I praise God for that. I didn't want to spend the whole time, but just talking about bragging. I wish I could spend more time just bragging on God's Word and how it was written over the course of thousands of years by kings, by priests, by common fishermen, all these different people, and yet it never contradicts. It's all talking about the same subject, all different millennia, different things going on, and it all dovetails together. That's a miracle. There's no way anyone could, we talked about this before, if someone saw a car accident out on the corner over here and 5 different witnesses, they probably would describe it 5 different ways and have different details that others would leave out, and it would, maybe some would contradict, but God's Word, it doesn't contradict over all these different people. It really is a miracle. And so I just praise God for that. And I was talking about kids. The first verse I do want to throw up there is we're going to be looking at 3 different books of the Bible. We're going to be looking at Hebrews, James, Peter. Those go right in the order if you know your New Testament. Hebrews, James, and Peter. I know James is before Peter because when I was 5 years old and became a Christian, my best friend in kindergarten, his name was Peter, and James always came before Peter. And if you didn't know, my first name is James. My first name is James, so that was easy to remember. James always comes before Peter. Still, this is 30 years ago. This is how my brain works. I'm not competitive at all. But James comes before Peter because I come before my best friend. Tells you how godly I was and still am today, right? Treating others better than myself. So we're going to be looking at those different passages, but we're going to go out of order. So we're going to look at 1 Peter first. 1 Peter 2:2. Your translation might not say it this way. I actually like this version. I think I have it up there. In the same way that nursing infants cry for milk, you must intensely crave the pure spiritual milk of God's Word. For this milk will cause you to grow into maturity, fully nourished and strong for life. Is that a good word or not? It's a good word. I love that passage. That we are to crave the pure spiritual milk of God's Word. That I love the imagery here that it's talking about an infant. Just as an infant longs, right? What does an infant do when it's hungry? It cries out. I need something. There's pain going on in my stomach. It doesn't know how to talk yet, but an infant knows how to get its point across. I need something. I need some substance. I need something in my life I'm without. And so it cries out. It needs milk. And I love even just the imagery there, that it's this nursing infant, that how does an infant has to come and be in its mother's presence, right? Even as it's breastfeeding, it's there, right there in the bosom, right there. The baby is there connecting with his mother in a way that's not just, well, it's just feeding the baby. No, there's actually more going on than just giving nourishment to that baby. There's love, there's affection, there's an ability for eyes to meet eyes, to look at each other, to talk, to communicate. Even this infant can't say words. There's communication going on between the mother and the child. And how much like us, we need pure spiritual food. But it's not that I just read this just to get information and then I'm well fed. No, I need to spend time getting the information. But while I'm getting the information, I'm in my Father's presence. And I want my eyes to meet with my Father's eyes. I want there to be intimacy as I'm getting that nourishment. And so it's a beautiful picture here that Peter is writing. Just as a nursing infant yearns and desires the spiritual milk of God's Word, we also need that. We need to have that same interest. And for those of us, I always want to be more hungry for God's Word. There's times, I'll be honest with you, there's ebbs and flows in my hunger for God's Word. I wish it was constant. I wish I was always at the peak of my hunger for God's Word. But the reality is, there's been ebbs and flows in my life. And maybe you've heard this before. But in the natural, babies, they eat when they're hungry, right? They're hungry, they cry out, I need something to eat. But in the kingdom of God, you eat to get hungry. You eat to get hungry. If you're not hungry for God's word, probably because you're not in it. The more you eat it, the more you hunger for it. So it's opposite in the kingdom of God. You've got to eat it to get hungry. So some of us, we might say, well, I wish I was hungry for God's word. I wish God would just give me a hunger for his word. Well, you can pray for that. That's great. But a practical is just start eating some of it. Start getting into it. And as you do, that hunger is going to come. And so that's important that we get that. And I think of this too when I read this passage. I also think of what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He's talking to the Corinthians and he's saying, man, when I first came to you guys in Corinth, I gave you spiritual milk. I was feeding you the milk. But it's been years, decades have gone on, and you guys are still like babies. I can't give you real solid meat. I can't give you real food that you can actually chew on and last you for a longer time than just an hour. You guys are still these babies. And so there's this contrasting in God's word, this idea of Peter's describing it one way and Paul's describing it another way. And they're not contradicting. They're showing you two different examples. But the reality is, I think we've all met people that have walked with the Lord for decades and they're still spiritual babies. They're still spiritual babies. They can only handle milk. They can't handle the meat of God's word. And I don't want us to be a church full of babies spiritually. I want us to be a church that's full of people that can rightly divide the word of truth, that we know how to study it, that we're spending time in it, that we're hungry for the meat of God's word. And so that's my prayer, is that when we're connecting to God's word, is that, yes, we're getting that spiritual milk that's healthy. But there's also this idea of moving and progressing. And that's what I love about this verse. It says that in the same way that nursing infants cry for milk, you must intensely crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word. For this milk will cause you to grow into maturity, fully nourished and strong for life. So how do you grow spiritually? How do you become strong? How do you become equipped for life, according to this verse? You read his word. You read his word. You got to get in the word. If you're not strong, if you wouldn't describe yourself as someone who is strong, who's mature, then it's right here. It's right here. It's all that you need is right here. I love that. I keep going back to last week when Greg said that. You can't live off of someone else's manna. You can't live off of someone else's food supply. You've got to go get your own. And that's important. It's good you're here on Sundays. It's good that you're getting the word on a Sunday morning. But that's not enough. If you only ate one day a week, you'd be malnourished. You'd be weak. You wouldn't be mature. You wouldn't grow. And so there's this idea here that you've got to read God's word. You've got to go get it for yourself. And so that's important that we're doing that. I was talking about how a baby is there in its parents, in its mother's presence. And there's communication going back and forth. I realize often that when I'm reading God's word, I'm getting his heart on the matter. Sometimes I'm not just getting knowledge and information and wisdom. Sometimes I do. Sometimes it's just getting my father's heart. I have this perspective of something, and then all of a sudden God's revealing to me, here's how you're supposed to view this other person that just ticked you off or that's done you wrong. And I have this other perspective, and as I read God's word, I'm gaining God's heart for that person. I'm getting God's heart for this situation. And I heard a pastor say, actually I've heard it several times, but it sticks with me. And I equate it to Jeremiah 29:11, which a lot of you guys know. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. And it's about this idea of gaining the heart of the Father. That when I read God's word, there's this idea of it washing over me, right? God's word washes us, it cleanses us. All the wrong perspective, all the lies, all the selfish things that are in my mind, I need to be washed. It's like I take a shower every day. I need God's word to wash me daily. I need to be washed. I need my perspective changed. And there's this thought this pastor says that is profound and yet so simple, and yet I need to remind myself that I can't afford to think a thought about myself that God doesn't think about me. You can't afford to think about yourself the way your flesh thinks about yourself. You can't afford to think about yourself the way the enemy wants you to think about yourself. You can't afford to do that. You've got to think the thoughts that God thinks towards you. As we were just singing some of these songs this morning, His love is reckless. It leaves the 99. You've heard your pastor say several times that I'm God's favorite. And that might be offensive to some of you, but that's really where I get it from. Just like Jesus, the good shepherd, is counting his sheep and he sees, man, I'm supposed to have 100 and there's 99 here. One of them's missing. That one that's missing is now his favorite. He leaves the 99 to go find that one lost sheep. Praise God. God continues to find me. As I wander off, as I don't read his word, as I do things my own way, I'm his favorite. He'll leave what he intended to do that day. He'll leave the 99 and he'll come find me. So that word, I hope that word never offends you that I say I'm his favorite, because you're his favorite too. He leaves me to go find you. He never leaves us, right? God's word says he never leaves us. But this idea that you are his favorite, you can't afford to think you're not his favorite, because you are. God's word makes it clear. He thinks about you all day long. God is thinking, he's crazy about you. He's thinking, he knows the thoughts he thinks about you. And they're to prosper you, not to harm you. They're to give you a future and a hope. God is constantly trying to work together all things that's happening in this universe, that's happening in this country, that's happening in your city, that's happening in your household. He's working all these things together. He's trying to work them all for your own benefit, for your own good. He's trying to prosper you. These are the thoughts that God thinks towards you. And we've got to understand what his thoughts are. This tells us the thoughts that he thinks towards us. And so we can't afford to do that. The next passage I want to look at, I'm not getting to James yet, leaving the best for last. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active and full of power. The word of God is living and active and full of power. You know, I was thinking about God's word is living. I was telling my kids the other day, we went to Universal Studios this last summer. And they have in there, my wife doesn't care for it, but you can have different perspectives, Harry Potter. We went into Harry Potter and they had in there, it was a book monster. I have no idea. I don't know Harry Potter, but there's a book inside there that's alive. It's like an animal. It's a monster and it breathes. It's like, and then all of a sudden it'll wake up and it'll start running around inside this little box. And it's just the idea I was explaining to my kids, that book is alive. This is God's word. It's alive. It's breathing. There's life in here. It's alive. That God's word, as you think about it, it's living. It's active. It's powerful. That it's eternal. It never fails. That it goes on. You can read it in 1 Peter and other places. It talks about how it is eternal. It goes on and on. It will never stop being true. It will never stop being powerful. It will never stop living. You can't kill God's word. Nothing can quench it. And I was thinking about this, even in the very beginning, right? Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do this? In verse 3, what did he do? And God said, he spoke with a spoken word. What was the first thing we have recorded that God spoke? Let there be light. He spoke, let there be light. And I was thinking about that. Our sun is only good for, I don't know, a couple hundred million years. And then our sun's going to go out. But do you realize that right now, there is more light being created in the universe? And my brain can't really fully understand. I'm not an astrophysicist. I can't really understand all this. But I do understand that our universe is expanding. It's growing in every single direction. Our universe is getting bigger. And not only that, it's getting faster. It's growing bigger, faster and faster and faster at a greater speed as time goes on. And it doesn't mean it's just void. The universe is expanding and more universes are being created today than there was a million years ago. Universes are being, God's word, let there be light. It's still powerful. It's still living. It's still actively creating more light. The very first words that God spoke are still doing what it intended to do. That God's word never returns void. And so it's so amazing to me that we have the very words of God that created the universe. We have them in written form. We have his words recorded. Do we really understand that God's word really is alive, that it's active, that it's powerful? You know, I was thinking about this. It's reverberating throughout the universe. I was thinking about how Daniel's playing the violin, right? It's that resonating. That bow is vibrating against the strings, and it's that reverberation is causing sound. That God's word is continuing to reverberate throughout the universe, continuing to create, continuing to be powerful. And that's what I pray God's word continues to do in my life. That God's word continues to reverberate and vibrate the strings of my heart continually, daily, creating things in me. I love that God's word is living, it's active, and it's powerful, right? It's all these things. And if it's in me, if God's word is in me, I become alive. I become active. I become powerful. The rest of this verse says, God's word is living, and it's active, and it's powerful. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. This idea of double-edged sword, it's all throughout Scripture. God's word is a double-edged sword, and we've gone through this before, if you remember, several years ago, but that it can also be translated in the Greek, double-mouthed. It's a double-mouthed sword, that it becomes sharp and pierces darkness and does these things when it's spoken. That God's word, right, even in Revelations, you talk about how John sees Jesus, and the word came out of his mouth like a sword. There was a sword in Jesus' mouth. Wait, the sword wasn't in his hand? No, the sword was in Jesus' mouth. There's something about, it's this spoken word, that God's word here is living and active. But when it becomes two mouths, when you, as the second mouth, speak God's word, it becomes sharper than any double-edged sword. That it becomes the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, where you can pierce darkness, where you can come against the enemy. This is where it becomes double-edged, when our mouth speaks God's word. That's why I love it. Jesus, he came against the enemy with the written word of God, but when he spoke the written word of God, the enemy was defeated. Amen. It's the same thing in our own lives. If you want to be alive, if you want to be powerful, speak the words of God. Speak the words of God. And so I love this idea of God's word being living, powerful, it's active. And I was thinking about, yes, from Genesis, the very beginning, from God created things, it's still going on. But this written word of God, we've only had for, 2,000 years, less than, being compiled all together as a Bible. And if you realize, Pastor Greg was talking about in Sunday school, that, man, the human race is secular. The human race is against God. Wide is the path that leads to destruction. Narrow is the gate, the road that leads to heaven, right? And we know this. At the same time, God's word is here on the earth. It's spoken, as I said, reverberating throughout the universe. But we have the written word of God, and it's on people's hearts. We know all these things. There's something about God's word where I feel like, as I'm reading God's word and hearing from what God is telling me personally, and as your pastor, we hear constantly in the news all this negative information. We keep saying, oh man, America used to be great, and it's going to hell in a handbasket, all these horrible things. But if we stop and think about it, think about even the human race. Think about over this, where we're at today compared to where we were 100 years ago, compared to where we were 1,000 years ago. God's word has had an impact on humanity. God's word, think about it. What would human life be like today if we didn't have the written word of God? If we didn't have the Ten Commandments? Do you think there would still be slavery today? It was the written word of God, the desire to make this the standard, that the pilgrims came to America and started a new nation. In the schools was one textbook. This is what they taught the kids. History, science, everything came through here. Universities, they didn't exist. The Christian Western world created universities based off of God's word. All those elite schools, Yale, Harvard, all those things, they were all seminaries. This higher education came off the standard of God's word. This idea of hospitals. Hospitals came from the Christian, Bible-believing Western world. Do you understand? There's so many things that have been developed throughout humanity that we are living in the most blessed, incredible day and age ever in all the history of humanity. Large part because of God's word. Because of God's word. A couple hundred years ago, kings and queens didn't have air conditioning. All the money in the world, they sweat in their beds at night. You and I, we live in such a blessed world. Don't allow, yes, there's truth that the enemy is alive and well. But don't allow that truth to conquer your hope. I love that Greg talks about it a lot. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So don't let your hope get deferred. This word it's living, it's active. Jesus kept saying, and the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. He's building the church. He gave his word. It's here. It's on the move. God is on the move. I know I say that often at Oz Neighbor Church. God is on the move and he's up to something good. Here at Oz Neighbor Church, maybe you might not agree with me. I believe God's on the move and he's up to something good in America. I believe God is on the move and he's up to something good on the whole planet Earth. God is on the move. His word, it's living, it's active, it's powerful. The enemy cannot come against it. He tries over and over again, but it will not be defeated. It will not be defeated. You know, and the reason why is it's not just because there's a Bible here on our shelves. The reason why is because there's people that are putting it into practice. See, this idea that double-edged sword, it becomes sharper when it's two mouths. God's word is living and active all on its own. But when there's a people that become living and active and powerful because we have God's word in our heart, that's when this world is transformed. Do you think if the world at large had God's word at the standard, do you think there would be hope for this world? Do you think if you personally made God's word the standard for your life, that you have hope for your life? Amen. God's word is the standard. If you live this out, I promise you, you will live a fully abundant life, full of power. Right? All these things that we're just reading. And you'll be active. You won't be bored with your life. You know, I was thinking about this idea. It's living, it's powerful, that there's life here. And thinking about how Jesus, he constantly was using different analogies. He constantly was trying to find ways to connect God's word to people's daily lives. And so he told parables about how things were in their day and age. And so one of the things he talked about, the seed, right? The sower cast seed. And I was thinking about how God's word is a seed. And I was thinking about, does anyone remember those commercials back? They're still around, but I haven't heard a commercial in a long time. Does anyone remember Chia Pets? Cha-cha-cha-cha-chia. Those seeds have life in them. It's just, all you have to do is just add water. Just add water and watch this whole chia pet grow and do all these incredible things, right? Just add water. God's word is living, it's active, it's alive. Just add some faith. Just add some action, add some obedience to it and watch your life grow. Watch it mature. Watch your life become full and abundant and become powerful. I love that. All you have to do is just add faith. All right, let's go there quickly. Saving the best for last. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, this idea of just adding faith, just adding some action. I'm going to turn there too. James chapter 1, verse 21. James chapter 1, 21 through 25. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. You know, James later on, to me, one of the most famous things he says here is in the book of James, he says, right, he talks about faith. Faith without works is dead. To me, it's kind of the same simplicity what he's saying here. God's word without action is deception, is what he says here in verse 22. Hearing God's word without doing it leads to deception. Hearing God's word without doing it leads to death, leads to this idea of it does you no good. In fact, it's actually more harm than good to hear it only. This idea of hearing, in the Greek, this word for hearers only is, I don't know how to pronounce it, akrotes. In classical Greek, it described people who audited a class rather than taking it for credit. Anyone remember going to college? Have you ever went to college where you can audit a class? It wasn't towards your major. You wouldn't get credit for taking it, but you were just interested. Maybe I do want to, I'm not sure what I want to major in, and so I'm going to go, maybe I want to be a nurse. Let me go take a nursing class. Maybe I want to be a psychologist. I'll go take a psychology class. And you're just taking it to get some information, but you're not actually going to apply it to your life. You're not actually going to apply it to your degree. You're just somewhat interested in it. And so that's what, in this Greek culture, James is writing this. Don't be one of those people that just audit classes. They just go to get some information to see if they're interested and then actually do nothing with it. You actually deceive yourself. Don't just be a hearer only. And if you read and you study, it talks about there was these people that would go listen to these well-known speakers, right? Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, all these people back in that day. They would listen to all these wise people and they would travel around trying to find new information. That's why it was a big deal when Paul was there. And who's this new God you're telling? Tell us about this new religion you have. They're always interested in new information. And so sometimes there's people within the church, and I won't point fingers, I'll say even myself, that I say, well, I've read God's word. I'd like to hear something new. I've heard a pastor preach a sermon. I've heard that sermon before. I'm always wanting to hear something new. And somehow I get bored when someone just tells the salvation message over and over again. Can we get beyond the salvation message? I want to hear something new. But see, if I'm actually a doer of God's word, if I actually just led somebody to the Lord yesterday, and then the next morning, the pastor is preaching the same exact verses I just led someone to the Lord in, I'm saying, amen, pastor, preach it. Because I'm doing what he just talked about. It's exciting. I want to hear it again. But when I'm not actually doing it, I just want new information. I want more information, more information, more information. And as you heard Pastor Greg say, we went yesterday to a men's gathering and probably will go over better in that context because it was all guys. But he was saying that people like that who just receive information and just receive and receive, receive. He goes, I call them constipated Christians. Nothing ever comes out of them. They just receive. They're just hearers only. They don't ever do anything. I know that's kind of a gross thing to say on Sunday morning, but I think that's often when you find the church, those bitter, angry people that, man, you've been following the Lord for how long? And you're just a constipated Christian. You're constantly finding what's wrong with what the pastor said. You don't like this. You don't like that. You don't like that. You're complaining, complaining, complaining. When it's the people that are actually doing God's word, man, they don't ever complain. They don't care if you say the same sermon over and over again because they're actually busy doing God's word. Amen, pastor. Amen, pastor. Keep preaching it. And so I don't ever want to be one of those constipated Christians. I'll be honest with you. I've done that. I've listened to pastors. I listen to sermons all week long. And there's times, and now I'm being convicted. There's times where I'll listen to a message and I'm like, oh, I've heard that before. I'm going to check myself and say, I must be constipated. I must not have done that. Because if I was actually doing what he's talking about, I'd be excited about it. And so I don't ever want us to be bored. If you're bored with your life, then try actually doing it. Try actually doing what you're reading. It's impossible to get bored if you're doing what God's word says. This idea of doing God's word, I told you what the Greek was for hearers only. The word for doers is, again, I'll butcher it in Greek, poietes. And it's the same Greek word used for poet. It carries the idea of creativity. James is telling us that if we can't easily think of a way to do what has been preached to us, we can't easily think of a way of what God's word tells us to do, we must be creative and find a way to go do it. I think there's sometimes we read God's word and we say, oh yeah, that sounds good, or I already do that. But the idea of doing it, there's something creative. Trying to figure out a way, you're spending the time to figure out how can I actually implement this? How can I actually find a way to do this? So you could read James 1:22 if you took it in that way of poetic. You can read it this way. It's time for you to get creative in the ways you do the word of God. Be a doer of the word. It's time you get creative in the ways you do God's word? When was the last time you tried to get creative? How can I bless my neighbor? And we just say neighbor, we just think of people in general. No, maybe the person right across the street from you. How can you be a blessing? Someone came this morning, they made a breakfast burrito for their neighbor. Their neighbor didn't want it. I was the recipient. I got blessed because someone made a breakfast burrito. I was blessed this morning. Someone came to church and brought the pastor a breakfast burrito. That was fun. That was a creative way. What's a creative way you can be a blessing, that you can actually do God's word? Sometimes we think we get so generic and so boring, and we think it has to be done in the church. It has to be done something that it's the pastor, it's the leaders that do these things. No, it's you. How are you being creative to actually do what God's word says? I love that because this is a practical translation of it. You know, I told you often that I'm a Francis Chan fan. I'm a Chan fan. And I love, he often talks about reading God's word. He says, you know what? So many times he grew up in the church, went to seminary, did all these things, and he realized he was a constipated Christian. He realized he had been so stuffed full of information that actually during those times when he graduated seminary, he realized he hadn't done God's word. And he was dry. It was actually the most dry he ever was in his relationship with God. The most information he ever had in his entire life, graduating from seminary, and yet the most cold his relationship with God, because he wasn't doing it. He just spent all day long studying it, hearing it, reading it only. And he talks about how if we could just go back to the Bible and pretend like we were aliens, and we came down to planet Earth and we read this for the very first time, what would we think if we read this and then we looked at the church? Would there be a disconnect with what we're reading? Wait, why does the church do that? How come the church doesn't do this? There's things in here that we're listening to what other people have said and we're not getting it for ourselves. Just the simplicity. I love what Pastor Greg says. Man, just take one little verse, right? Jesus wept. You talked about that. Just chew on that. What does that mean? How should that affect your life? And I got to really quickly, you know what? I'm not even going to do it. I have slides for it. But the idea is I'm trying to get us to a place where we're going to connect God's word to our daily living. And my goal has been that we as a church, that we have some practical tools. And I can't remember if I shared with you guys on a Sunday morning or not, but we're working on, they're going to be printed hopefully this week, some journals, some prayer journals, some Bible reading plan journals that we're going to give to you guys. As Osborne Church, we're going to have these journals that you're going to have time to do devotions. There's a time, I remember my wife, when she came to know the Lord in fifth grade, her teacher was talking about devotions. What does that mean? She had to find out. She didn't know what devotions was. Where does that say that in the Bible? How does that practically work? There's adults that when they come to know the Lord, how does that work? What do you do? What does your devotion time look like? Mine might look different than someone else's in the room. And so I'm not saying this is the only way to do it, but I want to give you a tool. And so I'm going to be talking about it. I had slides for it, but I'm not going to do it today. I just decided. But we're going to use, I'll tell you now, we're going to use the format SOAP. Some of you have heard that before. Some of you have never heard that before. But it's Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. The idea, just read a couple verses, figure out, yeah, a lot of people have them already. That's what we're going to do. We're going to implement this. We're going to connect to God's word, and you're just going to find something. Okay, quickly, give you 1 minute version. Taking a scripture, you observe what in there stands out to you, what's highlighted to you. You observe that, write that one, maybe it's one word, like the word connect for the year. Maybe there's one word in there. Write that down. Then application. How do I apply that to my practical living today? What am I going to do today to put this into action? Application. Then P, prayer. God, I need help. Would you supernaturally help me to actually walk this out? I don't want to do this in my own strength. Holy Spirit, give me a supernatural ability to do this. Remind me. Be my guide. Help me. And so there's this idea. It's just simple. 10 minutes. Reading God's word, writing something down, praying it. Done. But there's something where it becomes practical. The idea is, this whole theme is connect. How are you connecting God's word to your daily living? How is it connecting to your thought life? How is it connecting to the words that come out of your mouth? How is God's word connected to your life? And I want to give us tools. And so we're going to be talking about that in the next couple of weeks. We've got to move on to our next subject too. But as I'm wrapping up, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? These three different passages we read. Are you hungering and thirsting for the milk of God's word? Do you want spiritual food? And if your appetite isn't very high, remember, you got to eat to get hungry. Just spend some time. Just discipline yourself. You know, there's this word, God disciplines those whom he loves. That means he corrects. He shows you where you're wrong. But God does not give you a disciplined life, meaning he makes you spend the time to do what you're supposed to do. God won't make you do that. You have to discipline yourself to do these things. So if you discipline yourself to read God's word, okay, maybe you'll start getting hungry and thirsting for it. Remembering that God's word is living, it's active, it's powerful. If you're bored with your life, if you wouldn't describe your life as powerful, then maybe connect to something that is powerful. Connect to something that's alive. And maybe if you are bored with your life, maybe it's time to actually do it. Not just read about it. Don't deceive yourself. Don't be someone who just hears only. And again, I'll say it, don't be a constipated Christian. I know I was going to say that this morning, but it came out several times. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? We're going to end the service like we do every time. We're going to end with one last worship song. We'll have some people available for prayer. If you need prayer for anything, we want to pray with you. It can be connected to this message. It can be based off of something going on in your life. You just need prayer. We want to pray with you. And this is my heart, as I was praying last night for our church, my prayer and my heart as the pastor is for more of us to come forward for prayer, myself included. I'm not pointing the finger. That this should be something that we do regularly, that it's normal, that this is something that's not strange. Once a year we come forward for prayer. I hope this is something that you do regularly. Get prayer. I need prayer. I get here early this morning, there's other people that come and pray for me because I need prayer. So would you stand with me as we close the service in one last worship song?